This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. It's bad enough in this day and age when any organization publishes a newsletter that peddles bigoted opinions cloaked in tasteless and offensive humor. But it's perhaps especially troubling when that newsletter comes from the BPPA, the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association. That's the union representing Boston cops, the folks we pay to protect us.
Here's how the Boston Phoenix began this week's cover story. Quote, "For at least 6 years, the BPPA has published a boldly bigoted official union newsletter, the Pax Centurion. The Phoenix went through years of archives and found that Pax Centurion was full of screeds against minorities, women, progressives, gays, Muslims, even crime victims."
So here's a taste of what we're talking about. Pax Centurion recently referred to Governor Deval Patrick as a racial huckster, the Occupy Boston protesters as losers, anarchists, graying hippies, level three sex offenders, fakes, frauds, phonies, and nitwits. And it joked about the Egyptian parliament passing a law allowing a man to have sex with his dead wife, and on and on. Chris Farone reported the story for the Boston Phoenix and joins us now in the studio. Chris, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here. Thanks.
And Chris, we want to say, first of all, we did invite the managing editor of Pax Centurion, Officer James Carnell, and the president of the union, Thomas Nee, to be on the program. They didn't respond. We also invited Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis, but his office declined our request. My first question to you is, and I think the issue that surprised me the most was how long this has been going on.
Yeah, I mean, this is, at the beginning of my article, I say, for at least 6 years, it's been publishing a boldly bigoted newspaper. That was just so we could be careful. It's been going on much longer than that even, and we'll talk about that later, I'm sure. But, you know, and that's kind of when people ask me, does this represent the whole Boston Police Department? I say, of course not. Does it represent the whole union? Of course not. But at this juncture, that it's been going on for this long, and we went back to 2006, and we have the whole archives up there on the Phoenix website.
And we'll provide a link to that, by the way, at radioboston.org, because some of the material is really, really shocking. And we made a quick mention to it there in the intro, but talk a little bit about what did you find? I mean, for example.
So first of all, they're kind of like the direct hits on Muslims. They will kill you. They want to kill you. It goes from sexism to heterosexism, a lot of just really raw bigotry. But I think one thing that really gets people the most is the characterization of crime victims. The 16-year-old who was assaulted by Boston police officers along with other officers at Roxbury Community College is called a scumbag. Pax editor Jim Carnell addresses the mother of Manuel De Vega, who died in a shootout with police, telling her that her son was a maggot and a scumbag. And this is what's really alarming, you know, that these people are in the streets.
Now, did you get, speaking of the editor, James Carnell, did you get through to him? What did they say? We made an effort to reach out to them. As we said, they didn't return our calls or our emails. How do they justify what's going on here?
Well, they didn't. They didn't return my calls. They did not return Dave Wedge's calls from the Herald. They did not return Stephen Neer's calls from Boston Ovation. They're not returning calls, which is, you know, for a group that likes to be so loud in their newsletter, it's kind of ironic. There was no defense from them.
Well, let's talk about Commissioner Ed Davis. He did decline our request to be on the show. He did criticize the paper last week on Twitter, saying this juvenile conduct is wrong, not representative of today's officers. And he said this to WHDH's 7 News last week.
The union has a right to publish things that they want, and I'm not trying to interfere with their rights to free speech. But I think that overall, I wanted to go on the record and say that I don't agree with this, and I think it's wrong.
So what do you make of that? I mean, there's Ed Davis making a reference to free speech, but doesn't want to go much beyond criticizing his officer.
And this is what Mike McCarthy from BPD also said to me. You know, basically, police officers have the First Amendment right as well, and of course they do. And, you know, and activists have the right to go after them and after their sponsors just like they have. Of course, you know, the activists are not happy with that response by the Boston Police Department. Mm-hmm. At least something a little bit more substantial is, you know, that's what a lot of them would like. You know, how is it possible that these officers are patrolling these streets, which they have such contempt for?
Well, this week, the president of the Massachusetts Association of Minority Law Enforcement Officers said that Officer James Carnell should resign as managing editor of Pax Centurion. The group said the paper has angered a lot of union members and suggested that this has been going on for a long, long time. So let me introduce Officer Larry Brown. He's been on the force since 1977. In the late 80s and early 90s, he served as president of the Massachusetts Association of Afro-American Police, which is now the Massachusetts Association of Minority Law Enforcement Officers. And Larry Brown, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And we need to say this as a bit of a disclaimer on our part. Larry Brown, you are the husband of our colleague, reporter Dolores Handy Brown, so we just wanted to put that out there. But I guess one of the big questions, and Chris sort of raised it here, how reflective is this of police officers in general, these views expressed in Pax Centurion?
Police officers in general, I don't believe it shows that to any great extent. We have a hard job, as everybody knows, and we get people that sometimes overreact.
Yeah.
That's just part of the of picking from society.
But as an officer, as a black officer in Boston for many, many years, you've been aware of this issue for a long time at Pax Centurion, correct?
Absolutely.
And tell me what you make of it.
Well, just a little background. When I first came on back in 77, when I joined MAP at the time, they had copies of the Pax Centurion prior to me coming on the job. And there were cartoons in those issues that depicted black people as apes. Hmm. And there were columns and letters to the editor in those papers that disparaged people of color, women, whoever they didn't care for. They would write or depict us in ways that are very, very insulting.
And when you would bring these concerns forward, what would the response be?
Write an op-ed.
An op-ed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not as bad as that, Chris, but it's still pretty bad. Why does this carry on?
Well, I think it carries on because a lot of, from what I've heard, I spoke with Sage Jamal Crawford, who writes for the Blackstonian newspaper. They've written a number of editorials against this, and then it comes right back at them. It's like this judo technique that the editors of the Pax Centurion use. I think things might actually change a little bit this time. I think this is his Don Imus moment. I think he said a lot of asinine things over the years, and this time it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, not just a few people.
And as you report, some of the people it's rubbed the wrong way are some of the advertisers, right? We've seen a real pullback of advertisers that were advertising on Pax Centurion.
Yeah, even today we've seen, I believe, Altria has dropped off.
How many to date?
I haven't checked this out yet, but Occupy Boston is saying, I believe, 9.
Mm, yeah.
So the first ones, of course, were Simmons College, which, Simmons College, when they replied, when they returned my call, they said, look at the advertisement that we had in the Pax Centurion. It had, it looked like one of those old Benetton commercials. It had, all students of every nationality. Hmm. And it was, this kind of clearly, their value system that they're trying to, espouse it runs in direct contrast to what's going on in the Pax Centurion. I think this is what a lot of the companies came to realize, Harpoon Brewery, et cetera.
And Officer Larry Brown, we did make the point, I think it is important to make the point, that there are a lot of good police officers out there. This doesn't reflect necessarily how even most officers think. But does it say something about the culture that continues to pervade among police officers in Boston?
Unfortunately, yes. Carnell is the editor. He's an editor who writes 5 or 6 columns every issue. But he feels empowered to make those comments because he talks to some of his officers who feel the same way he does. So he feels that he has a perfect right to espouse his political and racial and gender politics. And it's reflects on all of us.
We want to get a couple of invite our callers to get in on this conversation. What do you make of this? Are you surprised that a newsletter from the Boston Police Union would use this kind of language and carry on doing it year after year? How should the city respond? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And we do have a listener. Let's go to Jason, who's calling from Newton. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, you're on the air.
Yes. I just feel like this shows a really disturbing aspect of, some unions, not all, because I have no problem with unions, but having, political clout, because this scratches the surface and it shows a very, small-minded and parochial way of thinking. And these people have a lot of power, and whenever laws come up, like three strikes or drug laws, they're the first people to make sure that our society works a certain way at the expense of other people, namely blacks. I mean, I think that the drug war is effectively, you know, institutional racism. And here are these people saying these things, and that's how they think. And then yet they also push Congress and other groups to, like, keep certain laws, you know, a certain way.
Jason, thanks for the call. Larry Brown, I'd love to get your response to what Jason said, a concern about the intransigence of unions and the power of union in this case.
Well, first of all,
and of course, you're a union member. So
I'm a member. I am a member of the BPPA, just like every other police officer on this job. And one thing you have to realize is that no matter what your rank in this department, from sergeant, lieutenant, captain, deputy, or superintendent, you started out as a patrol officer, which means you belong to that union. So this is something that should bother everybody on my job. Yeah. Everybody. But you're right. I'm pro-union. The unions, all unions, do very good things for their members. They protect us. They make sure that we're taken care of when something comes up that shouldn't. And unfortunately, every once in a while, the administration or higher levels will try to get to you.
Chris, you're nodding your head.
Well, I mean, as far as just what this reflects, I mean, the Mamleo and other parts of BPD community groups, they've, you know, been meeting.
Mamleo, just for listeners, Massachusetts Association of Minority Law Enforcement Officers.
Of course. You know, there have been meetings as recently as April, I believe, about, say, the number of superior officers of color. This is a blatant example. It's splashed on the cover of the Phoenix. It's outrageous. But as far as kind of these institutional issues, this is nothing new. Every year, you know, go look in the archives of the Boston Globe. Every year, maybe even every 6 months, there's an article about this, about one community organization or another, you know, really kind of raising the issue of what kind of supervision at Boston Police Department, is there? How many officers of color do we have making it up the ranks?
Let's try to sneak one more call in here. Mark is calling from Boxford. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
I used to live in Boston for a number of years. I've got several good friends who still do. And one of the things that always struck me was the lack of respect among the general public for the Boston police. And all you have to do is read the news police officer's newsletter to realize why that is. That's their public face. That's their public relations. And
Mark, you raise a good point, and our time is running out, so I just want to turn that to Larry Brown. And that's sort of the saddest part, among the saddest elements of this story, and that is this kind of stuff gives a black eye to so many good cops out there.
That's the biggest thing that bothers me more than anything else. Mamleo and community organizations can complain, meet all they want, and we do, and they do. And they do a good job getting message out there. But the problem is, it's not going to change just from Mamleo. It's got to be the membership of the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association. That means all of them. African-American, Latino, Asian, women. They're the ones that have to put the pressure on the leadership. The people that we elect to lead our union, it's up to them to make the determination to get rid of Carnell, if that's what they want to do. It's up to the membership to make sure that happens.
Larry Brown, one final question to you. Chris Ferrone mentioned that he thought maybe we were going to see some change, at least around this particular issue when it comes to Pax Centurion. Are you confident? Are you optimistic at all that something might change finally?
They might change the Pax, but the problem is it won't change the mindset.
Mm.
No, yeah. That's the biggest problem. They can take Carnell out. They can just dispose of the packs entirely. But if the mindset doesn't change, then it's not going to make that much difference, because Chris, this is going to affect the people that we serve.
So final word from you, Chris Ferrone. Still some work to do in this department, obviously.
Absolutely. And I think that mindset can be characterized with comments the comments that no gang members ever turn their life around. Mm-hmm. You know, that these people on the street are worthless. And that's what's really frightening to a lot of people, the activists out there.
Well, Chris Ferrone, writer for the Boston Phoenix, you can find a link to his story on Pax Centurion at RadioBoston.org. Chris Ferrone, thanks so much for coming in, and thank you for your reporting. We're very grateful.
Thanks.
And Boston Police Officer Larry Brown, he's been on the force since 1977. Great to see you. Thank you for coming in as well.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, the dreaded Yankees are in town this weekend, and the Sox are near the bottom of the AL East. Actually, they're in the middle of the AL East. We'll take a look at the origin of the New York-Boston rivalry. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Adam Ragusa. This is Radio Boston.